So for today, allow me the freedom, allow me the blessed opportunity to speak to you based on the theme of Merdeka, what is a truly free Malaysian. Thank you to the worship team for reading, for helping us to read together this morning's passage taken from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. If you have your Bibles, please turn them, please open them, put your finger on it, and we will go along verse by verse. Ya Tuhan, Bapa di syurga, terima kasih atas negara Malaysia. Terima kasih atas kemerdekaan Engkau telah memberi kepada kami. Ya Bapa, kami berdoa agar kami sebagai warga negara Malaysia dan juga warga negara kepada kerajaan-Mu yang kekal selamanya, kami akan menunjukkan bahawa proklamasi Injil-Mu merupakan sejahtera Malaysia yang terunggul. Oh God, we give you thanks for the independence of this nation that you've given to us. And we ask, O Lord, that we who are citizens of this nation, as well as citizens of your kingdom, may truly show that the proclamation of your gospel in our lives makes a true, peaceful, and prosperous Malaysia. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us, O Lord, in many ways what it means to be a true citizen of this nation, as well as a true citizen of your kingdom. And we thank you, O Lord, that they do not clash, but rather they converge. They extend, they expand, and there's plenty of your goodness for this nation and the nations around. So we pray that as we heed your word, speak to us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, so that we may truly be Malaysia and Malaysians. For our brothers and sisters from different nations who are with us today, we pray, O Lord, that this will be an opportunity for them to take a glimpse into us as Malaysians, as Malaysian Christians, who they are as Christians, and who they are as citizens of their sovereign nations where they are from and who they belong. We pray, O Lord, that in doing this, we see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So speak to us, O Lord, for your glory. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my Savior, and Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of us who come from neighboring countries or may not be familiar with our patriotic celebrations, in Malaysia, we have two patriotic celebrations. Actually, a few. But relative to West Malaysia in particular, we have two. One is today, Merdeka Day, and another on September 16th, Malaysia Day. Now, what is the difference? Merdeka Day is the day that we proclaim independence. The meaning, the word Merdeka can mean a few things. It can mean independence. It can mean free. It can mean liberation or libertaire. What it all means is that we had decided, or our forefathers had decided, the framers, to say that we can be independent, liberated from influences from afar, so that we can truly reflect who we are as Malayans and Malaysians. 1963, September 16th, there was a gathering of three other nation states. I want to make sure that I say that properly in respect to MA63. Where three nation states, Sabah, Sarawak, and Singapore, who they themselves had recently had asked for liberty, but were afraid or were not sure how they may be able to maintain liberty on their own. Because we were just developing, we were left behind with few resources to make us a country that can stand against various challenges around the world. And so Singapore, Sabah and Sarawak, for a time, in 1963, agreed to the Malaysia Agreement, and that's when we became from Malaya to Malaysia. Sadly, as we know, 1965, due to a conflict of direction, Singapore went on to be independent, and Malaysia continues on with our nation state, with our neighboring nation states of Sabah and Sarawak. And so here we are today. One is as important as the other, and I say that with great respect to Sabah and Sarawak for a few reasons. Number one is Sabah and Sarawak also have their own independence days. Yeah. So Sarawak, they celebrated their Hari Sarawak or Hari Merdeka Juga earlier in the month. Sabah also celebrates, or they recognize that they were liberated from the foreign influence or the colonial influences of Sabah, within Sabah. And from there, they ask the question, what then shall we do? What then should we do? Merdeka Day is also the preview or the precondition of Malaysia Day. Because if we ourselves are not liberated, how then can we truly have a meaningful relationship with any other nation state to be Malaysia? Therefore, Merdeka Day is a particular day of reflection for Malaysians, especially in Semenanjung Malaysia, in the Malay Peninsula, as to what are we offering to the Federation? What are we offering to the table where we ask other people to gather around and see us so that we may truly be Malaysia, truly Asia? Now, I don't mean to give you a ceramah. I don't mean to give you a recollection of history and geography, although I think many international students here may do with a brief of what we are. Yeah, my daughters and I, we went to Kuala Terengganu for the holidays last week, and they thought that with 4.5 hours journey, they thought that Pulau Kapas was in Perlis. Because for them, 4-hour drive means, oh, we must be near Penang. When in fact, we were in the East Coast, and we had to show them on the map, and many other questions came about. But let us take a moment of our time and ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a truly free Malaysian? When I say free, I mean a liberated Malaysian. When I say free, I don't mean percuma, I mean bebas. What does it mean to have this great privilege to stand on our own 2 feet and say, yes, I am Malayan. Yes, I am from Selangor. Yes, I am part of the PBC family, who in fact had been established on the same year as our Independence Day. So if you see Hari Kemerdekaan 68, it means this year in PBC is our 68th anniversary, our 68th year. Easy to remember. So what does it mean to be a truly free Malaysian? And I can understand with the political news and the vibrations of what is happening in community today, it may seem that there is less and less tolerance for a truly free Malaysian Christian. But I would like to pose to you that with the help of God and His kingdom and the power and the matchless name of our King Jesus, we have much to offer for a truly sejahtera Malaysia. 3 points, very simple. What is a truly free Malaysian? Truly free Malaysians are those who choose and live out their identity. Truly free Malaysians are those who choose and live out their identity. Verse 31 and 32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's start with the first few words. To the Jews who had believed him. Who are these Jews who had believed him? Jesus was not referencing or addressing to his disciples. Okay, when I first read this passage, I'm like, why didn't he just say to his disciples? And the answer is, he was actually speaking to a broader group of people who were Jews, who were part of Judea and Samaria, who were part of Israel at that time. And they were saved, and they were those who also believed in Jesus. For context, you can see verse 29 and verse 30. Jesus said, "To one, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do what pleases him." Jesus is speaking about his relationship to the Father. And so you see me, you see the Father. You see me, you see the relationship with Father God. You see me, that means you have a great chance to be part of the family of God. And then verse 30, even as he spoke, many believed in him. Many. Yeah? Then in verse 31, he goes a step further. He says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Malay, yeah? Kebenaran membebaskan. Bebas. Merdeka. Very similar. Friends, many of us have not chosen to be Malaysian. We are born into it. Yeah? But what kind of Malaysian do we want to be? Do we want to be the Malaysian that just kicks around the house and say, "Ah, you see, how unlucky me, you know? If only I was over the bridge and in Singapore, then at least my currency is one Singapore dollar to 3.38 ringgit. Look at them. The floor is so clean, you can eat off of it. Where's Malaysia? Hey, find a dustbin, also very hard to find. Well, you can choose. You may not be able to choose where you're born, but you may choose to be the kind of Malaysian that you will be proud of. But with great liberty comes also great responsibility. In those days, many Jews believed in Jesus, but very few would be willing to live out the citizenship and sonship that Jesus was offering. And very few people are willing to do that even today. Many times in the scriptures we see some Jews will stand up and say, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." So they proclaim, that's what they will do. But then Jesus says, "Foxes have holes, lions have dens, but the Son of Man has nothing to lay his head." What does that mean? You may say so now in the security of what you have, but when push comes to shove, will you really follow the Son of God? Another person comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, I want to follow you, but first, let me bury my father and mother." Now, he's trying to be a filial person, of course, but he's also want to ensure that his inheritance is secured. Yeah, in Malaysia today, many millionaires are coming up from those in their 30s, not by their own work, but by the inheritance that they receive from their fathers and mothers. Yeah? And so these guys are trying to ensure that, I want to be counted, so that after I bury my father and mother, they say, "Wow, what a filial son." And then when the rulings come out, who should deserve the inheritance of what? Good. Then they can have it. That's why Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. Let them bite among the bones of the past. You come and follow me. The undertone of that is, they are seeking out for treasures where moss will eat it, where rust will take over it, and decay will bring it to pieces. But follow me, as Jesus has said, and you shall have treasures in heaven where it will never rust, it will never rot, it will never decay. Who would dare follow? And so it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to be accountable for to be his disciple. It's one thing to sing Saya Anak Malaysia once a year, but how are we behaving as truly Malaysians, as truly free Malaysians here? Maybe we can learn some things. You say that you're truly free. You say that you are truly a Malaysian. Okay. But is your truly Malaysian the kind of Malaysian that when you have a rubbish on your hand and no rubbish bin around, you just look around and just throw one side? Or can we learn from the Japanese, have a plastic bag in our bag, put the rubbish in that bag first, and then when you find a rubbish nearby, you throw it in? We say that we're Malaysians and we're complaining about the conditions of our roads. But do you follow every red light when you drove? Did you follow every red light on your way to church? Or did you say, oh, this doesn't apply on Sundays because nobody's crossing? Hey, jangan lah. What kind of Malaysian do you want to be? We must choose it. If you want a prosperous, peaceful nation, then we ourselves must work for its peace and prosperity. And that includes us as Christians. I love our Pantai Baptist Church Constitution. I know it's a very weird thing to say, but if you know me long enough, then you understand why. Okay? Article 1, paragraph 2 in our Constitution. What does it say about Pantai Baptist Church? Come on, church members, do you remember it? PBC.my, okay, about us, go down, membership, go down some more, membership form, baptism form. Then our constitution is that small little link there, you can click that. Paragraph 2, Article 1 of our PBC constitution say that we are a church established based on the rights and freedoms that is enshrined in our constitution that says that we shall come together and worship with peace and harmony with one another. You know what that means? It means that Pantai Baptist Church has decided that how we run as a church will greatly reflect the peace and prosperity as is the desire of this nation. Why? Because not only is it good for the country, it's also good for the kingdom of God. Now, you must choose, my dear friends, what kind of Malaysian will you be? Will you just be a spectator Malaysian that just complains, complains, complains? Or would you choose to be a proactive Malaysian and say, you know what? What I desire this country to be can take the sacrifice that is required. Can we truly sing in the song Sejahtera Malaysia, Kami setia, kami sedia, berkorban untuk negara. We are loyal, we are ready to sacrifice for this nation. Secondly, truly free Malaysians are those who remember the struggle. Remember the struggle. Here's the irony that we see in verse 33. They answer him. The Jews that say they believe in Jesus, right? They answered him, you know, because when Jesus, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Okay, so just as Jesus said, if you follow me, you are my disciples. You follow me as disciples, you shall know the truth. And the truth is that he is God, and in believing in Jesus, he then sets you free. And that makes you a truly different Malaysian Christian because you live out the best ideals of this nation because it is also the best ideals of the kingdom of God. And we make sure that we hold one another accountable to it. But then this group of people come up and then they said, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been slaves of anyone. Hello, what? How can you say that we shall be set free? These Jews must be out their minds. By the way, to the millennial generation, this historical reconstruction, history reconstruction, which is popular, where woke historians try and change the narrative so that it may reflect their agenda. That's not new. This is what's happening even in the days of the New Testament. They answered, we are Abraham's descendants, okay? What does it mean to be Abraham's descendants? To be part of, to claim that they are Abraham's descendants is to say that they are part of a promise that God has given to them. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I shall curse those who curse you, and through you all nations shall be blessed. Here's the thing. The Jews were asking for the first part of that covenant, to receive blessing from God, to be liberated, to be a nation where people will turn to for blessing, you know, and whoever they bless, they will be blessed, and whoever they curse shall be cursed. They want that kind of power. But they forgot the responsibility. And the responsibility is, through you, all nations shall be blessed. Second thing, I tell you the irony, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. I think they're forgetting a whole chunk of their history, right? They were once slaves in Egypt. They were once held against foreign powers for over 400 years. It took Moses, 10 miracles, the Passover, parting of the Red Sea. It means they forgot all of that. We've never been slaves to anyone before. What in the world? The reason why they want to say that is because they want to say that they have always been liberated under God. And God is so powerful, so great, that no matter what wrong they have done, they will always be on the good. That is where Jesus pulls their ear in verse 34 and 35. He says, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So Jesus gives twofold remembrance. Number one, he reminds them, yeah, we were slaves. We've been slaves multiple times. First, we were slaves to Egyptians, and then to Babylonians, and then to Persians. Mesopotamians, then to Babylonians, then to Persians, and then to Greeks. And now under Pax Romana, they are still treated like slaves. For those of you who want to remember all that, check out BEC's YouTube videos. We did a survey on major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel covers that time when they were all slaves to foreigners multiple times. They chose to forget it so they can stand on their own righteousness. But Jesus reminds them, hey, you were once a slave. And in fact, you're still a slave. Under Pax Romana, remember what Jesus said, right? If anyone asks you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles instead. Where is that from? Under Pax Romana, any Roman soldier may request or force any able-bodied Jew to carry their luggage or whatever they possess for 1 mile with them so that it's easy for them to walk. Under Pax Romana, if a Roman official or Roman citizen asks a Jew for their cloak because they are cold, the Jew is obligated to give. Why does Jesus tells us or reminds us of this struggle? Here's why. The more we remember that struggle as a learning curve for us, the more we realize the gift of God's freedom for us. Jesus said, you, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Now Jesus is giving a multidimensional idea here. First of all, You say that you're Abraham's descendants and never been slaves before, but in fact you have been slaves before, and in fact you are still a slave. You are a slave to sin. And the devil does not take in, does not, and the devil does not adopt. The devil only takes in slaves. And when he's done with you, you have no place, you have no place in anybody's house. To hell you will go. A slave has no permanent house anywhere. Meaning, there's no inheritance, there's no promise, there's no belonging. You're just a slave. Friends, in our slavery in sin, we detach ourselves from God. And we end up wandering in our sin. No wonder we get so lost when we try and make sense of our own lives by ourselves, prioritizing ourselves first, hoping that when I prioritize myself, then everyone else will also live in peace and harmony. You may think, well, nobody does that. Well, look at politics around the world today. The reason why many times a nation struggles is because they become disunited, having small camps. Yeah, having small camps among themselves. And as many people in the past knows, that division makes it easier to conquer. That is what our colonial past reflects. That we segregate by ethnicity, segregate by language, segregate by religion, so that way, when we are separated, we appear weak. But true Malaysian, a truly free Malaysian, remembers what is the motto of our nation. Anybody knows what the motto of our nation is? Oh, peekaboo. What's the motto of our nation? It's not Satu Malaysia. Hello. Boys Brigade, if you have citizenship, give them back to me now. Bersekutu, bertambah, mutu. What's that mean? Many Malaysians are as bad as some Singaporeans. You sing the song Majulah Singapura, but you don't know the meaning. But we are also becoming no different. Sing Negaraku, don't know what it means also. Say the motto, Bersekutu, bertambah, mutu. Who is mutu? No, not the who. Unity is strength. The more we remember our struggle, the more we then find meaning in what we stand for. And unfortunately, the politics of this nation in these past 20, 30 years have found many ways to try and control this sort of unity, when actually it takes first and foremost truly free Malaysians to realize that when we are united, we are stronger. It was in that realization that Tunku Abdul Rahman put together a group of multi-ethnic representatives to go to London and appeal for the London Agreement 1956 so that we may have our independence in 1957. When we don't remember that struggle of the past, that we were first actually more divided before under the colonial British rule than we are now, it's just that we are not utilizing it. Because we forgot about that, we tend to think, oh, Malay for Malay only, Chinese for Chinese only, Indian for Indian only, and then we English-speaking Chinese are lost. Same thing for us. If we don't forget the initial struggle that we have, that is our sin, that makes us a slave to our own ill decisions and terrible consequences, we will not forget, we will easily forget why we need a Savior. And a just and merciful and loving God like our Lord Jesus. Which brings me to the last part. A truly free Malaysian are those who choose and live out their identity. So, you say, saya anak Malaysia, apakah maksud itu? If I'm a true child of Malaysia, what does that mean? Remember your struggle. Remember, my dear friends, that it took and it still takes a lot of hard work to keep a family together. And remember, my dear friends, our liberator. Recognize their liberator. Verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What promise does the Son give in order to be truly free? The Son promises belonging. The Son promises adoption. Just as he said before, a slave, you are a slave to sin, and slaves have no permanent home, but a son does. So therefore, Jesus is making a comparison. If you stay as a slave in sin, and no matter how much you try and liberate yourself, because you're not adopted into the sonship of the eternal God, then you will never have a true place, will never have a true home. But if you say that you follow and desire to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, first of all, he no longer calls you servants, he calls you friends. And he will treat you like you are a fellow family member of God. Remember what he said in other scriptures? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I will go and prepare a place for you. You know what that means? It means I will make you a family member. You will have a room you will have a mansion or a room in the house of the Lord. Reminds me of the long houses in Sarawak. And I implore you, yeah, if you say they're a PBC family and haven't gone on a mission trip yet, well, now's your call. Yeah, sign up for the next mission trip. Choose whichever one that you are able or capable to do or commit to. But the ones that I love are the ones in Sarawak. Their imagery of belonging is practically biblical. They live in long houses. Each family member has one room. The room is not just one room. It includes a living area, a kitchen, their own kitchen. And if they are the modern ones, there's one floor up and their bedrooms. It's actually quite nice. But the only way that you can inherit a room here is that you are born from this family. Bahawa kamu anak ibai. You're one of them. And if you're married into it, even if your spouse passes away, that house is yours and your children's. And they will count you. So that one day, if they have to refurbish or rebuild the longhouse, they will build one with you in mind, and there'll always be a home for you. Now you know why our dear Borneo brothers and sisters cannot wait to go home. Because they will always have a place for them. That's the promise of Jesus, our liberator. He says, you will have a place at home. In the meantime, act like a family of God. Act in the word according to words as Jesus said. Now, how does that relate to the country? Well, a few things. If you say that you're truly Malaysian Christian and that you are free and liberated in Jesus Christ, do you pay your taxes honestly? Because Jesus says, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Are you generous? Because Jesus says, when anyone asks you to take a mile, you go 2 miles. If anyone asks for your coat, give him your shirt as well. Are you generous in your faith as our liberator, Jesus Christ, was generous with his life? You can start by doing something very simple. It's enshrined in our constitution. It is based on the principles of every Malaysian I know, and that is this: prayer is free. So the least you can do is pray for your nation. The least you can do is attend and pray with one another and for one another. The least you can do, kalau kamu anak kepada kerajaan Allah, if you are a child of the kingdom of God, you should freely pray for people. Because why? Prayer is free, and yet it's the most powerful thing you can give. I shared yesterday at a prayer meeting that I was on holiday, okay, and I did not look like a pastor at all. I wore a t-shirt and board shorts. I was just keeping it back, laying low in the sands of Pulau Kapas in Terengganu. I was getting my suntan or sunburn. I was playing sandcastles with my kids. I was snorkeling. I did not have my pastor mode on. I did not bring a single Pantai Baptist Church t-shirt. Then suddenly one guy come up to me, and in our truly Malaysian culture, you see a stranger, what do? Talk to them lah. Hi, how are you? Where are you from? Especially if he's a foreigner, right? Wah, ang moa, hey, how are you? Where are you from? Wah, from Denmark, so far. You know, or from Amsterdam, or from the Netherlands, or from Europe. Wow. You know, or I'm from nearby, I'm from BJ. Because what is the common thing of common courtesy that you should do? If someone asks you a question related to yourself personally or your family, what do you normally do? Ask back, right? So they ask me, oh yeah, I'm from nearby, you know, 4 hours drive from here. And he asked, so I asked him, what do you do? I checkmated myself. What do you do? Oh, he works for a company. He was for a company, and now he's on summer holiday. Okay. What do you do? Oh, I'm a church pastor. So, oh, pastor, I haven't talked to a pastor in years. Actually, can I ask you something? 2 hours of sun available in the afternoon. I was only out under the sun for 30 minutes because for 90 minutes, scientist guy had something to talk about. One of the things that he was worried about was that his son was turning 18 and he was going into university life, and he was very worried that he'll be part of a fraternity that is a bit too liberal. Drinking, drugs, partying, and so on and so forth. And out of, you know, talking about it and assuring them, you know, you teach them well, hopefully the children, you know, teach them the ways of the Lord and they will not go far from it, you know. And then after that, slip of the mouth, because it's free. I say, dear brother, prayers are free. Can I pray for you? Say, yes, please. Yes, pastor, please pray for me. I held his hand. I prayed for him, especially in particular of his son that was looking for a fraternity home that will reflect good values. So I say, may you find a fraternity home. May he find a fraternity home that will truly reflect the characteristics and principles of what you have taught us, Jesus. We went to bed. The next morning, he looked at me and said, Pastor Mark! He didn't, why? Okay. Pastor Mark, Mark is fine. He's 50-something years old. Just call me Mark, yeah. Mark, you will not believe this. Okay, try me. My son became part of the St. John's fraternity. It's a deeply religious Christian organization that has a fraternity house for students. And their lifestyle includes morning prayer, charity and curfew. I'm like, wow. And he looked at me and said, that's the best thing I could ever ask for. And my son is very happy being there. Wow. Truly, there's no coincidence. Then he asked me, are there Baptist churches in Netherlands? I said, absolutely. I went online, found him a church, and I pray that he will grow in his faith there. I'm just saying this to encourage you. Prayers are free. You may never know how our generous God has in store in that little interaction. What reminds us of these sorts of things? Well, remember who we truly are as a child of God. We remember the struggle we ourselves went through, but by the power of prayer and in the might and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ on His death on the cross and His victory over the empty tomb, He liberates us and calls us a child of His own. And now we can go to Him and say, oh God, You are my liberator. Nothing is too big for You. So pray for the small things and the big things. You may never know how God has in store to unfold his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. Let's go back to being Malaysian a bit. The true identity of Malaysia is this whole idea of how unity is strength. There was a time that colonials tried to hijack that idea of unity and establish this thing called the Malayan Union, where everyone can live happily together, but you must live happily together while you kowtow to the governor of Malaya, who answers to the king of England. So they were trying to say, be united under the press, not oppression, but the pressing authority of the king from 10,000 kilometers away. And we said, no, unity is strength, and the unity must come from us as Malaysians. And so we decided, yes, we will go into this together. And that's why the team that went over to ask for the independence of Malaya was not just Tunku Abdul Rahman, but it was Tun Dr. Ismail, Tun Dr. Harold, Colonel Tun Dr. Harold Lee, or H.S. Lee, and a whole entourage of others representing ethnicities of Malaya. And in seeing that unity, there was a bloodless liberation. We didn't have to go to war against the Brits for this. They said, okay, go. And that is why we can stand under the banner of Malaysia together and say unity is strength. But our unity cannot be held alone. Even we as Malaysians, part of our identity as Malaysians are ones who believe that God Himself brings us together. That's why in our national anthem, what does it say? Rahmat, Bahagia, Tuhan, Kurniakan, Raja, Kita, Selamat, Bertakhta. We as a people are happy that God has graciously given that our King will safely and securely reign. So truly free Malaysian is one who recognizes what is our core strength. It's not food, it's not culture, it's not clothing, it's the fact that we can be united together despite our differences. We remember that some people try to push us in by force, but we say, no, we can do this with liberty together under the help of God, who is our true liberator. If you read our Declaration of Independence, it always starts in the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. I take that to be the same as well. Only God can give us a country like Malaysia. Now, what can Malaysian Christians do? Malaysian Christians have been very much part of the Malayan identity for years and years, in fact, centuries. And it was from our forefathers. Christians from around the world came to Malaya and put in true Malaysian culture into us. On the top left there, you shall see Penang Free School. Penang Free School was founded by Robert Spark Hutchings. He was an Anglican minister who came to Malaya, was part of the school system, mission school system in Malaya, where at that time, by the way, it was only for diplomats. He was the one that broke the idea to say that no, these schools should not just be for diplomatic children, it should not just be for missionary students, it should not just be for ambassadors' kids or privileged people. This should be a school that is free for all. That's why that school is called Penang Free School. It's not a way to say pigs for sale. It means Penang Free School. Anyone who's from PFS will know what I mean, lah, huh? Yeah, you PFS and St. Saviour's, you have this fight together, but actually you come from the same principle, that you were a mission school for the Malayan people. Many of us know the building on the right. Some of you guys go there for your monthly pilgrimage. for one checkup or another lah. Yeah? This was founded by the Franciscan missionaries. And Franciscan missionaries, by the way, had a very focused job. They say, because we were graced by the Lord Jesus Christ, we should give that grace unto others as well. And so you have a piece of history just down the road in Old Town to remind us that we have been part and parcel of the development of Malaya. Bottom left here is the Gospel of Matthew translated into Malay. What year? 1629. So, by the way, guys, the idea of worshipping the Lord our God in Bahasa Melayu is not a new thing. We've been doing that for 400 years. Just by comparison, the King James Bible was printed in 1611. The New Testament in Bahasa Melayu was printed in 1629 to 1635. And so, the ability to worship the Lord in our national language is in fact a Christian privilege and our Christian identity. And finally, those below 40 years old might not know what this is. Yeah? So to all newcomers here, this was our First Baptist Church, Petaling Jaya. This was what our church was. I put it here because I want to say, friends, the contribution of the kingdom of God does not stop with the missionaries of the past, but with the continuing identity of Christians in Malaysia today. Throughout the pace of PBC's history, we have been very much in step with the legacy of our forefathers. We started out in a clinic in PJ Old Town called the Baptist Clinic and Dispensary. It was a free clinic, and we had Sunday school and church service on the first floor. The community came together, the kingdom of God grew, and that's why we are here on number 18, Jalan Pantai, 9/7. Sunday school was one of the main things that gave opportunity to many children in PJ Old Town so that they do not fail school and then get dropped out at 12 years old. Many of them, thanks to Jack and Jill, I myself and an alumni, thanks to kindergartens and Sunday schools, we could then read books, we could then get ahead of ourselves in education, and so that we do not fall out of school. That is the legacy of Pantai Baptist Church. And now for us, my dear friends, we who are the new generation in this newish Malaysia, we are called to do the same again. Not because it is our requirement to be part of the kingdom of God, but because we have already inherited this great thing from Jesus Christ, for whom the Son sets free, He is free indeed. So let's therefore freely become all things to all men, so that we might, by all means, save some. Now what else can we say? We can continue to say, oh Lord, thank you for this nation that you've given to us, Malaysia. Thank you that we as Malayans have a role to play as Malaysian Christians. Now use us again as we seek for the peace and prosperity of this nation, that your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you freely chosen? Are you living up to that standard? Do you remember what was your struggle? And will you give it back to your liberator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has liberated you from the slavery of sin and the penalty of death, that you may be called the eternal, free children of God in Malaysia. Let's pray. Most merciful God and Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that your rule and reign, there is no limit. That under your rule, that you gave us, O Lord, the principle of unity, so that we may be not just a church in Malaysia, but a church for Malaysia. We thank you, O Lord, that on this Merdeka Day, we may celebrate it in the most holy ways, not in parades, not in carnivals, but in the posture of worship, saying, Lord, this Sunday especially, we give you Malaysia. Lord, we ask, O Lord, and we thank you that you have looked favorably upon Malaysia. You have used Malaysia, O God, for your kingdom in more ways than we could possibly think or imagine. We ask, O Lord, that you continue to do the same and more. But start in our hearts, O God. Remind us of what it truly means to follow you. Remind us, O God, of how we were terrible slaves to sin. And some of us still struggle with that even today. And that hinders us from, O God, from living out the life that you've called us to have. And that hinders us, O God, from being the true citizen of this nation and the true son and daughter of your kingdom because of our sin. We ask, O Lord, liberate us. Set us free, O God, as we recognize you as our Lord and our Savior. And may we proclaim that true liberation is not on any constitution or declaration, but true liberation comes from our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord now and forever. And may that roll back in to the peace and prosperity of Malaysia, so that truly this nation will then taste and see that you, O God, are so good. Reflected in us, O God, may we truly follow you, not just in our studies of your word, but in the sacrifice of our lives, just as you have sacrificed your life for ours. May we truly be ready to give our all for your kingdom and for the peace and prosperity of this nation, which you have so lovingly ordained. Let us safeguard that, O God, for your glory. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.